ONV presents Truth in Politics.
Welcome to Truth in Politics, presented by ONV, and I am C. Stats, and we're joined here with my co-host, Miss Audrey. Hey, say hello, Miss Audrey.
Hey, guys, it's Audrey. Good to see you all.
And we have a guest in the building tonight, and we're going to let him introduce himself, and then we're going to get into this conversation. Mr. Jordan?
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me this evening. My name is Nick Jordan. I am currently your elected Allen County Auditor.
Welcome. We thank you for joining us today, Mr. Jordan. But, you know, this is a thing, we're talking about politics, and this is not the glamorous politics, this is not the mudslinging politics, but this is an important part of politics because money is a big part of politics and your taxes is a part of politics. And we want to understand the utilization of the taxes and where it goes and how it's distributed throughout the county. So we're going to first tell us about your position and what you do, and then we'll get into the question and answering thing.
Yeah. So, and I will just start my position on the politics piece for the auditor's office, hopefully as it's apolitical as it comes, because a dollar's a dollar, how you choose to spend it or so forth, hopefully doesn't happen in your local auditor's office throughout the Indiana counties. But I've been in the auditor's office for about 13 years. I was caucused in 2017 when the previous Allen County auditor, Terry Klutz, became state auditor. And I'm currently in my middle of my second year of my second term. I'm term limited. Auditors are term limited in Indiana. And so I will be done come the end of 2026.
Okay. And your term and term limits, how long is a term for an auditor?
2 4-year terms that they can serve consecutively. Then they have to leave office and you could come back, you know, as long as somebody's there in between.
Okay.
And
okay.
I have to throw in a personal note because Nick and I share the same faith tradition. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
But, you know, it is the beginning of the Triduum and eventually, you know, the journey of the cross in Holy Week this week, which I don't know about you all, but it's kind of weird for me to come be here talking about politics when you're hearing in the readings about, you know, Pilate's Pontius, or Pontius Pilate and everybody else. So, I mean, it's like we are a community that believes in faith in this studio as well. And I have to tell you just a little endorsement for Nick's character here. Every day at 12 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, every day at 12 o'clock, he's downtown at the Cathedral's Mass. And I oftentimes see him there. So he tries to bring
his
faith to bear in how he makes decisions and how he helps people, I think.
Keep just saying.
Yeah. You got to keep that balance. Got to keep that balance. Now, the first question is taxes and property taxes. Now, in our community, we fall on one of each side of, you know, either we go along to get along or we question everything. So tell us the general scope. Your property taxes, where do they go? How do they collect it? And what is the purpose of property taxes?
Yeah. So, and I'll keep it high level and you guys, we can dig in as need be. But in Allen County, and I'll consider, we have local units of government. So a local unit of government would be your county, your schools, your cities, towns, townships, library, airport, CityLink. Collectively, in 2024, we have levied about $550 million of property taxes. And so those property taxes, they're levied on the homeowners, businesses, commercial, manufacturing, so forth. And then when those are paid, they come in through the full life cycle. The assessor assesses your property. The values are given to the auditor. The auditor applies deductions, credits, exemptions. Right. And then the treasurer collects your property taxes. When those are once collected, depending on where you reside, so let's say the majority of people, we know they live in the city of Fort Wayne. About 70% of people live in the city of Fort Wayne. So if you're in the city of Fort Wayne, like 70% of the people, when those dollars are collected, about 40-some percent, 45% goes to the city of Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. Then the next biggest chunk, about 35%, will go to the Fort Wayne Community Schools. Then the county will get the next biggest piece. I think it's around 14 or 15%. And then the remain, and that's the largest chunk, just those three. Then you'll have airport, CityLink, townships will all get a remaining piece of the pie.
Okay.
How interesting. That so something around $500 million this year being levied.
It goes up every year. Each statutorily, you're allowed a growth quotient, they call it, to increase your property tax levy. And it's around 4%. So $550 million times that 4% is potentially what it'll go up into 25.
Okay. All right. Now, is there a matrix or is there a number? How do you figure or how does the assessor know to assess the value of property?
Yeah. So, and that is everything we're doing, meaning the assessor, the auditor, treasurer, city, town council, county council, is prescribed by statute, Indiana law. So your state representatives, your state senator, they're the ones that are prescribing the laws that we operate under. But and then as you know, so an assessor of any given year, 1-1, so let's say 1-1 of 2024 is the assessment date. And you're under Indiana law, the assessor physically reviews a quarter of the properties every year, and this is high level, and then they trend the other three quarters. So every four years, your property is looked at in simplest terms.
Mm-hmm.
But for a residential property, it's a market system. Indiana's assessments are based on a market system, and so they hopefully should reflect what the market is dictating on that assessment date, what the value of the property is for a residential property. Commercial properties and rentals, there's some other methods of assessment that you can delve into, an income approach, rental, you know, things like that.
Okay.
And just for the viewers at home, I mean, Nick knows I ran for office last year on a city level, but, you know, the tools that a local municipal government has at their disposal to, you know, to distinguish and determine what kind of taxes different properties are going to be paying. I mean, both the county council and the city council get to determine if certain communities are going to be paying tax or have tax abatements for projects, or if there's going to be, because of recent development, if that's going to, you know, be a TIF zone. Yeah. Those are things that both city and county have at their disposal, right?
Yeah. So once, you know, the county, I'm going to use an analogy of a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
If the county is that dough, and then say you divide it into four sections, and say the city of Fort Wayne's one section, Huntertown's another section, Monroeville's another. Well, once a city or a town incorporates, they have that jurisdiction to create abatements, create TIFs, tax increment finance areas, and do those type of things. A plug for voting, while it's so important to go out and vote, is because your county council, your city council, your town council, your school boards, your township boards, they're all going to vote each year, take a vote in adopting a budget and a tax levy, and that is what you are going to pay in your next year's property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when an election cycle comes around, whether running for office or just getting out to vote, that's your chance on the front end to address what your property taxes may be, or at least the people making that decision, adopting the budget and levy, compared to on the back end when you call and say my property taxes are so high, your chance to possibly change that is during the election cycles and the representation that you put on these local boards and councils that are making those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
What would be a cause or a reason or an effect to raise property taxes? You know, we hear about, you know, your taxes, but how do you, first of all, say we're going to raise it, or what would cause or, you know, precipitate a raise?
Well, and this is a very apropos question, Clarence, because as you know, 2023 saw Wayne Township takes up the majority of the city's demographic, but almost everybody who lives in the city saw at least a 40% to 60% increase in their taxes, right? Which is, I mean, sometimes it's usually around 12 or 20 year to year, but that was because of lots of statewide forces and other things.
So looking at the two dynamics that go into it, meaning, you know, the city council or county council, when they adopt that budget and they're going to adopt a tax levy, and that tax levy, let's say they want to collect $100.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's the three of us, then we're each going to give about 33 cents.
Right.
But if that assessed value of more people come, or our properties go up because the market, and that's what we've seen is what's happening is that the three of us that used to be three, well, now our houses have tripled, quadrupled, whatever it may be, because people are literally coming in or just already here and moving and paying two times, you know, one time, whatever it was right. before in price. And so the market's reflecting much higher assessed values. Literally the last 5 years, you've seen exponential growth in a pretty good chunk of residential properties mm-hmm. like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And even though when that what happens when that assessed value increases, so the assessed value increases at 10, 12, 20%, but we can only increase our levy by 4%.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even though our levy is only going up a little bit and the tax rate actually goes down,
right.
it's because your assessed value went up so significantly that your property tax bill is now higher. Mm-hmm. But that's the assessment methodology in Indiana that the assessors have to work with is the market value approach.
Mm-hmm.
There are deductions for residential property. You know, the homestead deduction is the most mm-hmm. significant.
Right.
If you're over 65, mm-hmm. there's a deduction potentially for you. It just depends on your assessed value and your income levels. There's disabled. There's blind. There's disabled veterans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're not aware of any of those, call the local auditor's office. My office will walk you through them mm-hmm. if you're not aware of what they are.
Right. One question, and I want to make it as simple as possible because, you know, you say you're a faith, but the Bible says make it above giving anything, get understanding. So I just want to tell, because this might be a new person out there or an older person that has never heard the word levy, explain how the levy is applied and what the levy is.
Yeah. So a levy is just a money. It's just, and it's essentially a tax. And that the, if Allen County government says our budget's our budget's about $260 million. Mm-hmm. Of that $260 million, let's say $100 million of it is going to come from property taxes because that's what we're allowed under law.
Right.
I'm just throwing rough numbers out there. And so that levy, that's going to be your property tax levy. Mm-hmm. That's what we're levying on
okay.
the assessed value of people's properties or businesses that they're going to pay in the next year's tax bills.
Yeah.
That's what the levy is.
I got you. Now, you mentioned another word, abatements. First of all, what is an abatement and how do the county and the city, I know you can't answer for the city, but I'm just saying in a general political or application, how do you know when to apply an abatement or who they give an abatement to or how are abatements set up?
Yeah, and they're more accurately called phase-ins, and it's because the taxes are phased in. Mm-hmm. And you may pay zero the first year, 10% the second year, 8%, 20%, 40%, 50%, because it's over a 10-year life cycle, 7-year life cycle. But both the county and the city, and meaning the city of Fort Wayne and Huntertown, we all have policies that are guidelines that those abatements are ran through scoring systems. And with whether it be the Fort Wayne or the county or Huntertown, you can ask and see what those scoring systems look like for an abatement. It's based on jobs created or estimated jobs created, estimated value they're going to bring as far as the project, because that's what generates tax dollars and other factors. And then what happens is because the business will present their estimates to the city council or county council or town council. And then every year thereafter, there's a compliance process that business has to submit forms during okay. that life of that phase in showing that they met those jobs. They met the salaries created. They met the cost of investment that they said they were going to invest. If they didn't do those things, then potentially the town council, county council, city council, they can revoke that tax phase in because they can say, hey, you didn't comply with what you said you were going to do.
How often would you say that happens, Nick? On the county council anyway.
On the county council, not so often. And the city council has revoked a few the last few years. And I can't even think off the top of my head quantity-wise, you know, if we were to right. throw a percent of how many. I would say it's a very, very small percent.
It's a pretty small percentage.
That are revoked.
Yeah. Once you disobey some of those guidelines, we do have two municipal governments that are pretty forgiving, I must say.
And you can give a waiver because there's underlying extraordinary circumstances that happen, whether it be COVID or other things that may cause a business to not have as many sales or not do the investment or whatever. That you can request a waiver that kind of gives you some temporary reprieve to get things back where you said they were going to be.
Yeah, and I think GM, they just restructured an abatement or something. A year, 2-3 years ago. I know it was not too long
Amazon
ago.
Amazon got one a few years ago.
Those are big. Yeah, GM's a big one. There was not even restructured. It was a new one.
It was a new one?
Because of new improvements, investment. GM's actually a super abatement where it's 100% during the life of the abatement. So 10 years, 100%. There's also
100% tax forgiveness.
Right. Yeah. And so all that's, you know, taxed is what was pre-existing prior to that phase. And then what your local town councils, county councils, city councils, you know, toggle with when it comes to that is GM brings 4,000 jobs or 3,500 jobs, whatever it may be, and you use whatever salary that may be. So they're going to not only create those jobs and pay those salaries, and those people are going to build houses or buy houses here, pay taxes. They're going to have suppliers. And so you have to take into consideration is would the business really move?
Right.
Would they invest elsewhere? Is it worth losing, you know, X number of jobs in the community? Because I wasn't around for Harvester.
Right.
But if a Harvester situation were to happen again or GM were to go elsewhere, that's significant.
That's right. Significant. That's, yeah, significant. Now, real quick, I have to ask this out of curiosity. Because you know how the Google unveiling of that big site that's out, what is that, in Thompson Road? No.
Yeah, Paulding.
Paulding.
Out in Adams Township.
Adams Township, which is part of the county.
It's in corporate. No, it's in Fort Wayne.
It is. Okay.
It was so in New Haven. It was in New Haven. They actually disannexed it, and Fort Wayne then annexed it. So it is within the city of Fort Wayne now.
Okay. Annexation is a whole interesting other side conversation.
We're going to have that conversation.
Yeah. But so with that, now, from what I understand, there's not going to be a ton of jobs at that site, right? It's going to be mostly like electronics and oversight.
Yeah, I think the initial proposal was not a significant, not your GM type of quantity.
So do you think that they'll still be getting a super abatement of some sort?
They're getting an abatement. It's not a super abatement. I don't remember the exact figures off my head. I know it wasn't a super abatement. But some of that is prescribed under Indiana law that there is, because the legislature has felt that those higher tech jobs are the kind of jobs they want to attract to Indiana. And so there is a carve out in law that does allow for the city or any local government to negotiate that phase in because of the type of jobs that are created in that high-tech industry, so to speak.
And what I say, like the abatement, because we talked to people. We actually talked to the president of Black Chamber at one point in time. We were talking about, like, the corridor coming from Decatur on the southeast side,
27.
Building that up. Now, why, or are there abatements, or are there things that, you know, can be allotted that would give businesses to come and build it or plan in that area? Because we're not seeing it happen. Are there not as many abatements as, you know, maybe in a rural area where they have more land? How do we assess where the abatements go? Yeah.
And so I can't speak to a greater Fort Wayne or even Allen County, the redevelopment department, or the city of Fort Wayne community development, because I don't know what efforts they put forward to say, you know, telling potential or prospective businesses that are coming here saying, hey, look at this. Look over 27, you know, going down. But what I can tell you is in the county or in the city, the type of abatement or eligibility on 27 South heading down towards is the same as if it were heading on Highway 3 up to, you know, Noble, DeKalb. The opportunities are there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were going to put GM, you know, on 27 South or that way going down, they have the same opportunity as where they're at now. So and potentially they may even have a location does, as far as taxation does play, because if you locate in unincorporated Allen County compared to the city of Fort Wayne or any town, city or town, you're not going to pay that city tax. But
right.
then obviously the city's not going to get, you know, any revenue from that. I'll just go to the county, the schools, township.
So
can we talk on that real quick?
Go ahead.
There's so many things we could talk with Nick about, and I want everybody to know that he's very approachable. You can always look him up online and call the auditor's office at any time.
Well, I'm elected by the people, so we're here to serve.
Yeah, and I do want to just mention real quick because, you know, there was, as you know, Nick, I was a big part of helping build a local grassroots effort toward resisting the decision for the county to build a new jail. And that looks like it's continuing with full steam. But there a lot of that conversation, particularly for a lot of the educators and homeowners on the southeast side, was that it was going to increase their taxes and it was going to take away taxes that would normally go to their school system. from the county levy, and it was going to put it into, like, say, an abating period or something for Elevatus and for the county, the jail ownership. Can you clarify, is there, when it comes to, and maybe there's other big projects that are on your horizon that people should be aware of when it comes to how their taxes will be reflected, but for particularly for that project that's going out on Meyer Road, how is that going to look?
Yeah, definitely talking the finance piece. I won't talk about
right.
how we got to where we're at.
Right.
Not my department, so to speak. But so the financing for the proposed financing for the construction of the new jail or confinement facility, whatever term you want to use, the method that county council chose was to use $45 million of cash on hand. Mm-hmm. And that was an attempt because if you use cash on hand, while we forego earning interest revenue on that, we potentially alleviate paying interest debt on the debt service and hopefully save taxpayers money in that
Amen.
Regard.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what the interest rate is on a given day.
Mm-hmm.
But so they use $45 million of cash. They're, we put that forward. We're potentially going to take out a bond, you know, of $200 and some million. That bond is to be repaid through income taxes. So therefore, it will have no effect on property taxes of Adams Township, any township around, because it's going to be levied on people's incomes that reside and work here. There's, you know, two different schools of thought on going the property tax route versus going the income tax route. If when we have tax caps today, and so for a homestead, that's supposed to be 1% of your gross assessed value. Well, if you're in the city of Fort Wayne and you're at a $200,000 home, you're at the tax cap. So if we would have enacted a property tax, that $200,000 home isn't going to pay any more.
Right.
Well, if you have a $70,000 home in the city of Fort Wayne, you're going to pay more
mm-hmm.
until you hit that cap.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to win the property tax right, you could argue it was regressive against lower valued homes.
Mm-hmm.
With the income tax route, while businesses may not pay it because certain S-Corp, C-Corps, you know, they won't pay
right.
income taxes, they'll pass it along to their shareholders. Your renters will pay it.
Right.
You know, anybody residing or working here right. will pay it. So the council went the route of an income tax, and so it shouldn't affect your property taxes.
And the income tax, after a lot of work from communities all across the city, the income tax was reduced. It went from being 2% to 1.2%.
Well, the max you can do is 0.2, and the one of the proposals was 0.15, and council chose to do 0.11. because they're going to use some cash on hand as well as a portion of what income taxes that were already in place.
Well, you mentioned and you talked about property taxes in that too. You also mentioned the lower income sometimes or the lower value homes sometimes get taxed and things like that. Are the assessed value of a home on this side of town versus the assessed value of a home on, and it could be the same square footage, same dynamics, but out west, it'll be a higher assessed value. So my question is, taxes are supposed to go in one pot in our thought, by our school of thought, it goes in one pot. But we seem to see it being delivered or distributed differently or in different areas. Is that a true fact or is that just how we visualize it?
It's definitely true in that, you know, the taxes will, we collect them, they're distributed out to the tax units, your local governments, city, town, schools, county, based on our portion of the tax rate. Then once they're at that local unit of government, how they're spent is up to the local elected officials that, again, people have voted into office and how they prioritize, you know, those tax dollars that they're receiving. And that's because property taxes are the majority of our funding.
Mm-hmm.
And there are what we call special revenues. And that may be fees for services, or it may be something like your gas tax revenue that the highway department gets, or Board of Health fees. Special revenues are those fees for services that are tied to a specific type. And those have to be used for specific purposes, but property taxes can be used in general for all operations. So when it comes to property taxes, they're prioritizing, meaning the local elected officials of that government, whether it be the council or the mayor or the commissioners, town manager, to use them, you know, where they so choose.
Yeah, with that, and help me understand, because I just bought a house. I'm figuratively. I just bought a house on this side of town, or I'm building one. Mm-hmm. They're building a series of houses out here off of Tillman, you know. So I'm building this house, and you're going to tell me, so my house is assessed maybe $70,000 less than the one, and it's the same square footage, same dynamics as the one built out west, but it's assessed a little bit lower, and so I'm going to pay a little bit lower, but then my taxes might be a little bit higher.
The only way that your taxes would, in that instance, if you have a house that's assessed higher, the only way your taxes are going to be higher is you either have a higher tax rate in that area. So if the house that was $170,000 out west, say its tax rate was 1. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're in, let's say it's southeast and you're at $100,000 assessed value, mm-hmm. but your tax rate's 1.5 or 2. And let's just say that's because one out west isn't in the city and you're within the city.
Okay.
The other thing that can happen is if it's not a homestead. If your house is a homestead, the one out west, even if it's assessed higher, that you will get deductions that the one out west wouldn't because it's not a homestead.
Right.
So you if we're going to compare properties, it's very important that you look at homestead versus homestead.
What makes up a homestead, real quick?
It's your primary residence.
Right.
So if I reside in my house, I'm not renting it. Mm-hmm. Even if I go on military leave or I travel the world for 6 months, if it's my primary residence and I intend to come back there, it's my homestead.
Right. Gotcha.
If you're renting it, it's not a homestead. And the reason that's important is because you get not only the 1% constitutional tax cap, you get the homestead deduction compared to a 2% tax cap, no homestead deduction, so almost double taxes for a rental, so to speak.
So, and there's other a whole bunch of questions people have been asking me about why in the state of Indiana and then therefore Allen County, are there abilities for so many, say, Airbnb owners to have multiple properties, right, that aren't their homesteads, but they don't have to have increased taxes on these other entities because they're using it as a primary business location or a rental. And, I mean, I don't know. We only have about 3 minutes left, but what do you have to tell us about that real quick before I get into this
spiel about
voting?
They're going to be assessed as they're used. It's market-based system as in use. So if that's a rental, like there is an approach, and the assessors are much better suited. They're experts in assessing.
That's true, yes.
But there's a rental approach where you look at the income that's potentially being generated through those rents, and so possibly it would be lower if they don't have the rental income. But there's laws to be followed, and they should be following those. Real quickly, just because we talked about phase-ins and homestead deductions, when you actually look at the makeup of the county, because the county has over $20 billion of net assessed value. That's after we back out the deductions, the exemptions, the abatements. The biggest reduction from the gross assessed value is homesteads. Then your abatements or your tax phase-ins, those may be $500 million to $1 billion. But homesteads, that accounts for $4 to $5 billion of reduction in assessed value. So while there is a lot of focus on phase-ins and abatements, it's actually not the largest reduction in right. gross assessed value.
Well, that's good to know.
That's good to know.
Okay, so I have a few questions, Clarence.
Go ahead.
So, you know, and Nick has mentioned multiple times the importance of that caliber of leadership that we're voting in to, say, the county's offices or the auditor's office. And in 2 years, you'll be able to vote for Nick's position, or the assessor's office, I should say. And then 2 years, it'll be the auditor's position. But we happen to have an election coming up this year as well, of course. And I didn't know this, Nick, until looking at the calendar on my way here. But did you know that we are now only about 2 weeks away from the cutoff to register to vote in the primary of the midterm election this year?
I didn't know that.
So I'm saying if people haven't already registered, right, until April 6th to register so that they can decide that they want to flex their muscle when it comes to choosing from all these various candidates and who will be on the November ballot.
Right.
And
a chance on the front end to make those, to have a say in the decision of who will represent you on county council, county commissioner, not only the federal races, but also your local races.
Mm-hmm. And on the Democratic ticket, you have about 5 people running for county council at large. On the Republican ticket, there's also some interesting sauce going on over there because there's the 3 incumbents, but then there's also a female Republican at large candidate now. So that's a total, everybody has a choice this year. You know what I mean? It's not just going to shuffle in the same people. And we know that there's a set of candidates that eventually we're going to hope to have on this forum. But Nick, for you, you're going to be ending your term limit as a 42-year-old father of how many again?
Seven.
Father of seven, okay, in about 2 years. What is on the horizon for you after this? What do you think?
We'll see.
We'll see.
That was a political answer right there,
I focus
Nick.
On the task at hand.
That was a political answer, Nick.
We'll see. No, I'm not a politician. I don't know. Then there's the answer. I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for all the work that you do at the auditor's office. And, I mean, Clarence, what do you think?
Well, I thank you because, like I said, this was not probably one of the glamorous things we wanted to hear about politics. But this is some information we as lay people in the community, we need to know. We need to understand how, because the purpose of this show is how we can bring the equity, political equity back to our side of town, to our community, that we'll be able to understand how to use that and levy that, in your word, to our benefit. So there was a lot of information you gave, and we want to thank you. And I hope that if somebody, one of our viewers, want to reach out to you, tell them how they can reach you and everything.
Thank you.
And,
thank you. I want to add one tidbit at the end. Just because towards the first week of April, the treasurer will be mailing out tax bills, so keep an eye out for that. Towards the end of April, the assessor will potentially be sending forms, they're called Form 11, and that tells you what your assessed value is going to be that you're going to be taxed on in 25. And then the third thing is if you're not receiving deductions or you're not sure, call the auditor's office. So instead of giving three different numbers, just go to allencounty.in.gov, mm-hmm. and you can look for the auditor's office number, the assessor's number, the treasurer's number, call one of us. We'll direct you where you need to go. But don't wait until you receive your tax bill in 25 to take action. Take action now if you need to so that you can get those things in place for the future.
And one more time, the website?
It is allencounty.in.gov. You can also just Google Allen County, Indiana, and you will find it.
Okay. Well, we thank you again for spending your time with us and educating us. You know, again, we're just trying to give our people the knowledge to be able to use the political system to their benefits, because the southeast side of town, we've been neglected, and sometimes it's our own fault because we don't get out and understand or vote or do things like that. So we're trying to encourage voting one and understanding of the political process, all levels of it. So, we appreciate you.
And be looking forward to potentially, whether you're Democrat or Republican, consider beefing up your skills to hopefully run as the auditor in 2 years. And also, just remember, our county council is full on Republican-led right now. So if you want diversity of thought, you know, Nick is a Republican, but he also cares deeply about diversity of thought. We should be making sure that you think about how those at-large positions that are on this ballot start to represent you, so that we can balance out some of those thinkers on that body.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you again. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Hopefully there was something that was said or brought to your attention that you can use. But follow up with them. Indiana, Allen County.
Allencounty.in.gov.
Yes. Follow up your assessor, your auditor, or your treasurer about your taxes. But we're going to leave you tonight, and we thank you all. And as we say before we leave the people, always protect your mind.